great singing this morning, and appreciate John's leading our singing and the visitors that we've had added a lot to our singing today. We appreciate that. We're really, really blessed to have all of you with us today, and at a time where we're sad that John and Claudia are leaving, and wishing them our best. In John the 15th chapter, beginning with verse 1, Jesus announced to his disciples, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser." We understand the setting of these verses, with Jesus in the upper room and with the 11 disciples after Judas had left, that he was with them for the last time and wanting to encourage them in these words as he prepared them for his going away. And many have wondered, why did he use this metaphor of the true vine at this particular time? There are several possibilities that have been suggested, that one might be the fact that Jesus had just introduced the Lord's Supper. And in the Lord's Supper, the fruit of the vine, Jesus might be associating that I am the true vine. Another possibility being that they were preparing to go out to the Mount of Olives in a few moments, and they would be passing through the Kidron Valley, and there were many vineyards known in that valley as they would be leaving Jerusalem, going out to the Mount of Olives and the Garden of Gethsemane. They would be maybe passing along by the vineyards, might have caused Jesus to think about that and compare himself, that he is the true vine. Another possibility that some have said is that in the temple, the gates of the temple, was a beautiful golden vine that was inscribed, and it could have been that caused Jesus to make this association. But I think another very strong possibility being that the symbolism of the vineyard in the Old Testament as representing God and his relationship with the nation of Israel. That in several passages there of the Old Testament, such as Psalm 80, where David, in writing to them, compared Israel, his people, to the vineyard and to the vine, and saying there in those words, "You have brought a vine out of Egypt, and you have cast out the nations and planted it, and you prepared room for it, caused it to take deep root, and it filled the land. The hills were covered with its shadow, and the mighty cedars with its boughs, and she sent her boughs down to the sea and her branches to the river. Why have you broken down her hedges so that all who pass by pluck her fruit?" And the image of the vineyard in the Old Testament was that God had built the nation of Israel and planted it in the land of promised land, the land of Canaan, but that the nation of Israel had become unfaithful to God. In Isaiah chapter 5, he spoke about the vineyard there, said, "My well-beloved has a vineyard on a very fruitful hill. He dug it up and cleared out its stones and planted it with the choicest vineyard, choicest vine. He built a tower in its midst and made a wine press. So he expected it to bring forth good grapes, but it brought forth wild grapes." And in the book of Jeremiah in chapter 2 and verse 21, Jeremiah said, "Yet I planted you a noble vine, and a seed of highest quality. How then have you turned before me into the degenerate plant of an alien vine?" The nation of Israel there, then God had looked to them to be his vineyard, his people, and he had provided every opportunity for them and planted them in a good location with the thought that they would serve God and bring fruit unto him. And yet they had been a great disappointment in that, and their fruit that they had borne was that of a wild grapes, and they had become an alien vine. So with that thought in mind, it makes sense that Jesus would have compared himself with his people as, "I am the true vine, I am the one that is you can depend on, that I will be true, and that the relationship that I have with you will be that God meant to have with the people of Israel, that you can have that relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And that will bear fruit unto God, that He will be pleased with that fruit that you will be able to bear. So He said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. And He used an interesting word there, the vine dresser, because in the Greek language is the word Georgos, which is the name of George that we have, has come down to us, and it means a farmer. Whenever you hear the name of George, it means a farmer or one who works with the ground. And He is saying here that my Father is the vine dresser. My Father is the gardener. He is the farmer who has worked with the land and planted this vineyard. But I think the important thing that He says is that you are the branches. I am the true vine and you are the branches. And there is the relationship that Jesus has with us as His disciples, as His followers. And when He is speaking about the branches here, it's important for us to keep in mind that He is speaking of individual disciples. Not as some have suggested, the different churches, but the individual disciples in our relationship with Jesus Christ. I am the vine, and you are the branches. And there is a relationship that we have with God, who is the vine dresser, and with Jesus Christ, that brings us into connection as being God's people and God's children, so that we may have eternal life. This is one of the I am statements that Jesus made in the Gospel of John. And in all of these statements, I am the bread of life, I am the door, I am the light of the world. Jesus is making exclusive claims that He alone can be the way to eternal life. And He is making that claim again here with His disciples. That I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser, and you are the branches. So what we want to notice this morning is what is the message that Jesus is bringing from this. And the message is very clear. The message is very clear as He expresses it in verse 4, that we must abide in the vine. We must abide in the vine in order to have this relationship. In order to obtain this blessing of eternal life, we must abide in the vine. We must remain in Jesus Christ. And He states that here in verse 4, abide in Me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in Me. Christ is the vine. He is the life source that we have. And we cannot be disconnected from Him and continue to have this life. Now, understand that many of us may not necessarily be horticulturists, gardeners. We may not have a lot of great knowledge of how this all works. But I think we can all understand the simple fact that Jesus is making here, that in order for us to have life, in order for us to be alive and successful in our service unto God, we must be connected with Jesus Christ. Because if we are severed from the vine, we all know what will happen. We will lose our relationship. We will lose our life that we have in Christ. Now, in order for us to appreciate that, we need to think about and understand the fact that this relationship that we have to remain in the vine requires action on our part. It is not something that just happens automatically in our life, and that we can go through life very casually with the assumption that, well, we are Christians, we are in Christ, we have this relationship. Jesus is wanting us to understand that this is a relationship that we must put forth a conscious effort and make a conscious decision to maintain this relationship that we have with Jesus Christ. In John chapter 1 and verse 4, at the very beginning of the gospel, Jesus is shown to be that He is the life, that He has the life, and that in Him is how we can have the life. He said, "In Him was life, and the life was the light of men." It is sad today that a lot of people in our world do not seem to have any interest in being united with Jesus Christ in their life. They do not see the importance of that connection and that relationship that we have with Jesus. They believe that somehow they can get through life, they can be a good person, they can be a good worker, they can provide for their family, and they will somehow be all right and yet not have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus is wanting us to understand, abide in me and I in you. And so unless we have this relationship with Christ and this connection, we have no connection to the source of life that counts with God in our life. But how many of those who have been in Christ, who have entered into Christ, have not continued to maintain that relationship that we have with Him? It is a relationship that when a person enters into Christ by obedience to the gospel, we are able to be united with Him. But there is a need in our life to maintain that relationship. Jesus talked about the fact that sometimes those who start out in living the Christian life, they become withered and die because they do not bear fruit unto perfection in their life. So there is an importance for us to maintain this relationship and continue to strive. Now what does that relationship look like, though, in the life of a Christian? The Bible answers that question for us very clearly so that we can know what it means to abide in the vine. In the book of Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, he said there to those who were in the early church, he said, "Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life." Some have looked in the context here, and it seems to bear out that it is saying, be faithful even unto the point of death in your life. But certainly there is a thought of being consistent and being committed and remaining faithful to Jesus at all costs in our life, even if necessary to give up our life for Him. And there is a need for consistency in our worship to God, to be of the mind that Jesus spoke about with the Samaritan woman in John chapter 4, when He said, "Those who worship God must worship Him in spirit and in truth, for so the Father desires, so pleases the Father, for us to worship Him consistently in spirit and in truth." It is a relationship then that involves our being a part of those who come together to worship God on a regular basis, abiding in the vine, remaining in Jesus Christ. And in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24, He says, "Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works." And He goes on to say, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, but exhorting and encouraging one another as you see the day approaching." Being abiding in the vine, abiding in Jesus Christ is those disciples of Jesus who love that relationship with Him and want to do all they can to maintain and build and encourage others to be a part of that relationship with God. Being in the vine, abiding in the vine, really comes down to having the right priorities in our life. To be able to understand that it is important, and it is the most important thing in life, for us to put God and His kingdom first in our lives. As Jesus said in Matthew 6 and verse 33 in the Sermon on the Mount, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. It's not something then that it's just a claim that we make to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Jesus said in Luke 6 and verse 46, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? I would say that being a follower of Jesus Christ really is a matter of sacrifice in our life. It is a matter of self-sacrifice that we are following Jesus, the one who gave His life for us. And in order to be a follower of Jesus involves on our part that we are willing to make a self-sacrifice for Him in our lives. And I believe that is one of the reasons why in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 and 2, the Apostle Paul said, I beseech you therefore by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. So Jesus, in speaking to us, the message that He is giving to His disciples here, I believe is very clear. And it is simply that we must abide in the vine. And we must make that a priority in our life to maintain that relationship that we have. And we do that by being involved in those things in our life that draw us to Him and maintain this relationship. Well, secondly, Jesus here gives a promise to us, though. In verse 5, He gives us an important promise. He said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. You see, this is a promise. It's not a statement. It's not a commandment. It is a promise that Jesus is giving to us. He is giving us a promise here that if we abide in Him, He will abide in us. And we will bear much fruit. This will be godly fruit that we will be able to bear. The kind of fruit that glorifies God. The kind of fruit that God is looking for, has always been looking for from His people. Whenever we abide in Christ, great things happen in our life. In other words, our life becomes a testimony unto God. And our life is able to bear fruit unto Him because, why? He is dwelling in us. And that's the power that we have, is that Christ is in our life. The Apostle Paul, we recall, whenever he gave his life to Christ, after he had been persecuting the saints, he gave his life to Christ, and in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, he says, I have been crucified with Christ, and nevertheless it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. That is the key. Whenever our life is lived for Christ, He is living in us, and Jesus says, you will bear much fruit. We have that promise, and I hope that we believe that promise, those of us who are here this morning, that Jesus Christ living in our life is going to enable us to bear much fruit. Well, what kind of fruit is it? Well, there's a perfect example of this in the fruit of the Spirit that we are told in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control. These are fruits then that become part of our life as we serve God. They're individual characteristics that in your life grow as we follow Christ and as we seek to conform our life to Him and worship Him and serve Him and study from His Word. We are able to develop those qualities of love and joy and peace and the fruit of the Spirit in our life. And these are not qualities, though, that we can simply say at any time in our life, Oh, well, I have all of those down. I don't need to be concerned about those anymore. I have the fruit of the Spirit in my life. We know that that's not true. That there are qualities that we all need to continue to work to develop our life, because once we turn away from Christ in our minds and in our hearts, and we are not striving to stay in a close association with Him in our life, those fruit of the Spirit begin to disappear and begin to grow weaker in our life. There are things that we have to consciously put forth the effort in our life to maintain and grow in the fruit of the Spirit. Perhaps the fruit of the Spirit can also be when we reach out to other people and help bring them to Christ. We bear fruit unto God in the form of souls who are being brought to the Lord and being saved in that way. But Jesus makes this promise to us in His Word that if we abide in Him and He abides in us, we will bear much fruit. And so the way we are maintaining our relationship is a reflection of the amount of fruit that we are able to bear and is being seen in our life. We need to examine our lives then and simply work and concentrate on the importance of maintaining our relationship with Jesus. And He assures us that when that is true, the fruit will be born in our life as a Christian. Well, He then gives a warning here in this text. And the warning is that God is going to be looking for this fruit in our life. And if He doesn't find that fruit, there are steps that He may take within us because of that. He says, if anyone does not abide in Me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. Well, this is a reminder that sometimes those who have been followers of Christ have become little more than dead wood on the branch, and they are to be taken off. The Lord is not pleased when He looks and He finds that there is no fruit being born, and it's a reflection that we are not abiding in the vine. If we are abiding in the vine, the fruit will be produced in our lives. But the Lord is going to make an inspection and does make an inspection, seeking to find that in our lives. He gives this warning in two different places here in this passage. He also said in the very beginning there in John 15 and verse 2, every branch in Me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes that it may bear more fruit. Well, even the productive branches are pruned. And there's good reason for that in our lives. Some of you have fruit trees in your yard and can appreciate what Jesus is saying here about this. Because if you look out in your yard and you look at the fruit trees that you have, and if you have not pruned them for many years, you have neglected the importance of pruning them, they may be producing fruit, but it is not any glorious display of fruit that the tree is. Maybe they are very small apples or small plums or some other, but they're not very robust and healthy. And if we take the time to go out at the right time of year and prune those branches back, we'll be amazed at the results that we will see coming on those trees as a result of that. The Lord is looking to His vine for it to bear fruit. And He tells us that if we will abide in Him, we will bear much fruit. At the same time, He is concerned that He, as He looks and sees a lack of fruit, it's a concern for that individual. These are individuals that he is speaking of here in this passage. That each one of us connected to the vine, Jesus Christ flows through us, and we are able to bear much fruit. He is looking, though, to see how we can be more productive in our life. And a productive branch, Jesus prunes. There are ways that Jesus is able to operate in our life to discipline us, to bring circumstances to bear in our life, that we will become even more productive as our faith grows in Him and we're able to rely on Him in more ways. We can become more effective and more productive. There's new things that we can begin to understand and grow in our life as we become more mature. And we can become more effective in serving Him and bringing honor and glory to God. So there is a warning that is given also for our good and for the necessity of us maintaining an effort in our life that is consistent to do the best we can and to allow the Lord to do the best He can through our life. Finally, we see the purpose that Jesus is aiming for in all of our lives. And that is what He says in verse 8, that by this My Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so will you be His disciples. Now there's two critical things that Jesus brings here in this final verse. First of all, He is saying here that the purpose of our life is to glorify God. It's not to glorify ourselves. And we need to be reminded of that as we live the Christian life. It's not about ourselves. It's about honoring and glorifying God in the fruit that we are bearing through Him as we abide and remain in the Lord. We are able to glorify God. Jesus said in Matthew 5 and verse 16, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." Secondly, Jesus is also making the point here that bearing fruit is a mark of being a disciple of Jesus. So will you be My disciples. That if you bear much fruit, that is the mark of a disciple of Jesus Christ. And it ought to be a concern in our life that if we look and we are questioning whether there is any fruit being born that we can see and be encouraged in our life, it ought to be a concern for us, are we truly disciples of Jesus? Are we really truly following Him and maintaining this relationship in our life that He is seeking for us to have? Because our goal and our purpose is to glorify God, and in that we will be His disciples. So being involved in bearing fruit unto God that honors Him is an assurance to us that we are His disciples. And that is the measure and the mark of being a disciple of Jesus. Remember that Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, and understand that He is speaking here about the false prophets when He makes this statement. He says, "By their fruit you will know them." But isn't that also true of us as His followers? By their fruit you will know them. That when you look at the life of a Christian and you're able to see the fruit that is being born, they have the love and the joy and the peace and the long-suffering and the patience, the self-control that Jesus promises us that we have through the Spirit as we walk in the Spirit and walk in Christ. He assures us that we can grow in this fruit of the Spirit. By their fruit you will know them. So it is a mark of being a follower of Jesus to be able to honestly look at our life and see evidence that the fruit is being born there in our life. Once again, Jesus here makes an exclusive claim. I am the true vine. You are the branches. My Father is the vine dresser. It is an exclusive claim that Jesus is the way, the only way to eternal life is through Him. We are able to have a relationship with God through Jesus. That we can truly be said that we are the people of God. We are the vineyard of the Lord. We are the people that are bearing fruit unto God that glorifies and honors Him. And yet this is something that requires effort on our part. Primarily, Jesus is giving us the message here. The importance is, remain in Me. Abide in Me. And when you do that, I will be in you. And you will bear much fruit. By this, the Father will be glorified. Today, if there are those here who want to be in Christ, who want to be abiding in the vine, who want to establish this relationship with Christ in your life, then we're going to extend to you the gospel invitation today to come to Christ through your faith and your repentance, be buried with Him in baptism, so that you can begin to walk with Him and enjoy these blessings that Christ assures us of, that we can be dwelling in Him and He can be abiding in us, and we can be bearing fruit. But if we have lost that connection with Christ, then today is a time for us to restore that and rededicate ourselves to serving Him, knowing that Jesus is very patient and long-suffering and loving with us. These words that He is speaking are to comfort us, to encourage us in our life as we live with Him. He understands that this world has a pull on all of us. And if from time to time we can get discouraged, we can lose our closeness with Him, we can lose our closeness with our brothers and sisters who are there to help us. But He welcomes us to come back to Him, just as the Father and the prodigal son was open arms to receive his son back. The Father would be that to us this morning. To any who have drifted in our relationship, need to restore that, we're going to stand and sing together the invitation today. If you're here in any way subject to the Lord's invitation, we invite you to come as we stand and sing.
'Tis the grandest thing through the ages.